You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his tiger's knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Well, the party they're gonna have out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Discardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, good evening to you and our listeners around the globe, Bill. I'm doing fine. I hope this broadcast finds you in good health also.
Well, it sure does, and what a lineup we got tonight. We got Rocky and Swede from Arkansas, Christian from Pennsylvania. He's our youngest researcher, 13 years old. We got Robert from Pennsylvania, Anthony from Virginia, Theron from the Choctaw Reservation in Mississippi, and Dave from Four Corners, New Mexico.
Sounds like a lot of old friends are on with us tonight. It'll be good. And ladies and gentlemen, please accept my apologies. I've been doing so much company business. We're reorganizing. We're setting a lot of new standards. We're on the road constantly. We're in the process of trying something entirely new. You hear all these stories about, oh, there's some guy that's touring with a Bigfoot body. You know the story there. I'm not even going to go there. And all those people that gave me emails and phone calls, you know, guys, please, I can't. We have a movie. It's called The Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. If you want to know anything about that guy, order that movie, and it will go into complete detail. You'll hear him. You'll see him confess. You'll hear him confess. And it's just nothing but a... I saw one of the ditties that he did on news, on the news reel, and he came out and exactly told everybody. It's a sideshow, and it's for entertainment purposes. Think about what he said, ladies and gentlemen. A sideshow, and it's for entertainment purposes. For those of you who don't know what that means, it's real simple. It's phony. It's not real. He's just hoping to perk your interest so that he can take your $10 or $5 if you're a kid, so you can go in there and see the thing, and you're going to find out for yourself it's not real. So let's not waste anybody's more time on this, please. Well, Tom, he's going to, after he goes on his tour, he's going to put it in the Natural History Museum in Los Angeles. I got to see that with my own eyes. I doubt it. Okay? Oh, Tom, he got $14 million from this huge philanthropist and casino owner in Las Vegas. Mr. Casino Owner, if you're out there and you are within this broadcast of this radio channel, before you plop down one penny as stupidly as I and my crew did, 50,000 large, and then it totaled up to about 107 with expenses and everything, talk to me. Don't waste your money. I'm not going to say anything more about it. There's too many things going on legitimately. You know, out of all these Bigfoot shows, $10 million bounty, what a joke that is, and all these others, there's one new one that came out, and I liked it. It started this week. It's called Cryptid, the Swamp Beast. And when we were down there in Louisiana, a lot of that stuff went on. The Roraru, whatever it was. And it kind of likes, it's like the ship shifter, you know, with the, that they had up there in Wisconsin. Had a body of a man or a hairy guy, but the face of a wolf. It's, but at least it was entertaining and it kept your interest, ladies and gentlemen. Give it a look. I think it comes out on Mondays. Somebody sent me a clip and I saw it, and I really liked it. I enjoyed it. It held my interest, okay? And for it to help hold my interest, you really got to go some, believe me. We got a lot of beautiful things coming up. We're just waiting for some paperwork. I'm going to see if we're going to do a live stream. I haven't talked to Bill about this yet, because we've been going in two different directions. Bill doing one thing, I'm doing another thing, but it's all for the common courtesy of our company. But we're going to be gone for about 16 days, and I'm going to see if we can do a live feed each and every day, keep everybody abreast of what's going on, where we're going to go. We may talk about that later on today, because some of the people that we're going to be with are on the show. Without any further ado, I think I talked to Robert in PA last week. He had some compelling, and they're on the website now, ladies and gentlemen. It's called Robert Footprints Pictures. We're going to get to him in a moment. But I want you to really take a look at these pictures. They are incredible. I haven't seen pictures like this in the snow in a long, long time. And we'll get to Robert, and he'll tell us all about them. But I want you to look at the indentation in the snow, ladies and gentlemen. And I want you to, more so than that, look at the stride. And don't say, oh, well, it's a bear or it's a big cat. So the back paws went into the front paws and all that. Forget about that. This is real. Okay? You can even see the toe impressions. You know what? Without any further ado, why don't we go out there to PA and talk to Robert. Robert, you're out there?
Yes, thank you, Tom. How are you?
I'm well, and thank you for being with us tonight. And how's the weather there where you're at?
It's still cold, not as cold as it was the night that that I think these prints were made, but it's still chilly. I mean, the snow's still there. It ain't melted yet.
Now, you got a
waiting
front
for
coming
spring. Excuse me?
You have a front coming in, weather front.
Yeah, I think Monday they're calling for maybe another good snow, I think Monday.
Okay, all right. Now, listen, I don't want you to leave anything out, Robert. I want you to tell my audience around the globe exactly what happened, how it happened, and how you reacted to all of this.
Well, I was out Wednesday night, which was back on the 8th of January, and I was out on the back side of the garage, the porch there, smoking a cigarette, and I seen clearly what looked like something had walked through the yard, but the prints looked big, and you can see that the stride was pretty good distance, so I went in and grabbed the flashlight, and this was at nighttime, dark, it was dark out, and I went out and did some further investigating with the flashlight, and I looked down, and I clearly seen what looked like a giant footprint, and looking at the stride and everything, I knew right away that it was a Bigfoot Sasquatch that had walked through there. That was my gut feeling, because I just felt real, I almost want to say scared, like, you know, like, I don't know what kind of reaction it was. I've never experienced nothing like that. So I went in and I told my wife and my father-in-law, like I said, they live with us, and told him, and then they went out, and that's when we started taking pictures and the video of the steps, trying to document it and trying to make sense of it. And like I say, my father-in-law's got a PhD, a doctorate in philosophy, and the man has a doctorate in education. He's retired, and he couldn't even make sense of this. The stride, the footprints, he clearly, he knows it was a Bigfoot, too, because we've tried to make sense, you know, like you said, the double steps, any known animal, and you just, nothing scientifically comes together except for a bipedal creature known as Bigfoot that made these tracks. That's our
stride, Robert.
The stride, when I first did it, I actually measured it wrong because, you know, the one step to the next step up, I actually measured from the front back heel of one step to the top of the toes on the other step. Even that gave me a 6.5.
To heel, go ahead. What were they?
Heel to heel was 7'8" at one point. 7'8".
Wait a minute. So from the back toe to the heel of the next print going forward, 7 feet?
No, it was 6.5 feet. From the back heel on the one to the front of the toe was six feet. It was 6.5 feet. But if you go, because I looked at a field guide, and according to that, to measure a stride, it should be the back of a heel to the back of the heel. And if that's the case, it was 7'8". So either way, it was big. Either way you measure it, it was still a big stride. And I tried to do it, and I'm 6'3", and I'm pretty tall, and I got long legs, and I tried to do it, and there's no way I could have did it in one step. I had to do one, two, three, and then when I come down on my third one, my foot was barely at the back of that hill. That's how big that stride was. And anybody that wants to know how big that is, get a tape measure, measure it out, and try to jump it. There's just no way. You're not going to do it. That's how I know it wasn't a hoax. That's how we know.
Let me ask you something, Robert. You went out there for a smoke break. You saw these unusual tracks. You got your flashlight. You went and looked at it. You got your measuring tape, you went and taped it up, you went and talked to your PhD father-in-law, and everybody else took a look at it. What did they all think?
My father-in-law, he can't, like he said, there's nothing known that made these, nothing known. What else could it be? And everybody else I've talked to, nobody has ever seen a track like that. I told Marco Bill, I've shown a game warden out here in Pennsylvania. No one's ever seen a track like that. Nobody can explain it. And I'm telling you, these are, that's what I'm trying to tell you. These are
Wait a minute, Rob. What did the game warden say to you when he first saw the tracks?
When I first showed him, he said, where did you take those at? And I told him the city. He says, I've never seen nothing like that. I said to him, I said, maybe a Bigfoot. He looked at me and kind of chuckled. He said, get you a cup, or, you know, he said, get you a game camera. Good luck hunting. That's exactly what he said.
Did you get a game camera?
I've got two of them on my property right now. I'm actually wanting to get a couple more. I want to get a bunch more and start placing around the area.
And the two game cameras that you put up, did you get anything interesting?
Not yet, Tom, nothing. It's like I say, it's the area that we think it's, that it come back from or was walking from onto the property. The only thing that made sense, plus we had that encounter down there, was that pond down there with the reeds and stuff. And right now everything's frozen over. And like I say, I think it, this thing made a calculated bad judgment when it walked through the snow, you know, to leave its tracks. It was just, like I say, you know, if you listen to the other shows, I explained it. He couldn't go around the front of the house because it was too lit up. And at the time, the video that I sent in Marco Bill, which I still got all that, but it was real patchy, more grass than snow. But he had chosen that path through the back of the house through the snow. And like I say, he left his footprints, or she, or whatever the gender of the animal was, but they left about 20 of them across the back side of the house there. And really, that's what I said before, too. 2 days before this, I had heard about that shooting. And you know, honestly, I probably wouldn't have went out there and looked if I didn't even hear that story, honestly.
But what story is that? I didn't hear that one.
The one in Texas, the guy that said it, I guess it supposedly had shot one, which now we all know is bullshit, but, no, it is. I mean, I can send you,
I'm laughing with you because, and it's the first time I heard anybody say it like that, but you made me chuckle, and I appreciate that, Robert.
Nah, but, it's bullshit, and I know that.
Don't waste the time on this press.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, I wouldn't even worry about that guy. I wouldn't even bring him up, Tom. Everybody knows you're the man.
Tell me
that's
about,
what I called.
Do you have fish in the pond?
Yes, supposedly it's a koi. It's a actual. That's why I say since these steps, a lot of things are coming together now. It's actually a koi. Somebody said that they believe it's a koi fish pond. There's koi down in there, and I know the reason because my wife's friend lives a ways down, and the woman said that. And that's, you know, you think about this too, but. I guess the woman that owns the pond and her husband or whatever, but the woman actually accused this lady's cat, a cat. Now, household cat eating her koi fish. What household cat can pull a koi fish out of a pretty good-sized natural pond? I mean, I don't know. Maybe feline cats do, but I wouldn't think that they can pull a koi out of a pond. So that's what I was saying. I think this thing might be. You know, I'm putting all this stuff together. I thought, you know, I said before when I left the house, in hindsight now, I think I've seen a big creature now, you know, out in the field one morning when I left. I didn't make sense of it. And then before, I think I've seen a footprint off to the back of the house. You know, this was a while back. But it only had the one because kind of like where the water runs off the house and it kind of stays wet in there. In fact, there's still that imprint in the ground, but it don't look like a foot now. But, you know, you could see where I would be telling you this was a while back that I'm thinking that, and plus there's a lot of corn around here. It's a lot of deer. I'm thinking this thing might be using this area for food. I don't know. It could have migrated through. I don't know yet.
Let me ask you this, Robert. Did anybody, were there dead carcasses of the koi fish?
I didn't see it. I'm just telling you what my wife had said before. I don't know. Tom.
Have, you know, somebody analyze them to see what, you know, if there was.
Well, no, this was a while back. She was just saying that she knew it was a koi. I was asking her how she knew there was koi. who told her. And I guess her friend was telling her that that woman was yelling at her, saying her cats were killing her koi or had killed
her
fish.
Well, you know, no matter what kind of fish is that, whether it's a koi pond or just a pond that has could have catfish in it, who knows?
Oh, I'm sure it might, yeah.
You know, it's a feeding source for one of these creatures. Remember, these are intelligent beings, okay? And knowing that everything is frozen over and they're not adverse to breaking the ice looking for you know, anything that, well, you heard of people going out ice fishing, you know that. These creatures are smart enough to do that also, okay? But I have a feeling that they're going to be keep coming back. I think the greatest thing that you're doing is putting up these cameras. And if you ever get anything that you know that's really close and really hot, you give us a call because we're going to be out on the road here next week to a different place. And we'll come a running. You hear?
Well, yeah, I don't, like I say, but I just want you to know, Tom, that these are 100% real. I've got no reason.
I have no doubt in my mind what you've got is an authentic creature out there roaming on your property. So have peace in mind of that, Robert. I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart that what you've done and how you shared with us. Stay on the line. Marco Billo Mucci out. We got a lot more show ahead of us. I'm going to be on for at least two more of our guests, but I wanted to make sure I was on for you because I promised. And did you get those videos yet?
No, not yet. Not yet. They'll be here. You know, you're coming all the way from California, so it takes a little bit.
Hey, buddy. Listen, thank you so much for sharing with us. Bless you.
All right. Bless you, Tom.
Bye-bye. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Robert from PA. Phenomenal story. I mean, if you haven't looked at the prints, go on to the our website and take a look at them. They're pretty incredible. Let's go to a commercial, Bill.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage, available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back.
Thank you, Bill. You know, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a while since I've been on the show, so I'm looking at the pictures here, and it says that I do shout-outs, and underneath there is a picture of Tom and the SFBI team. That's a pretty incredible picture, ladies and gentlemen. You might want to take a look at it. It's Chico's next to me. Behind me is Roger Peterson, the one that told that compelling story who's in, I think he's in Bigfoot Lives, the original, in Arizona. And then in the back with the glasses on, that's the giant. What's his first name, Bill?
Steve.
Oh, Stevie, yeah. Stevie the Giant. Forgive me, Steve. I've had a lot on my mind today. And all the way to the left, when you're looking at this, the guy with the cowboy hat, is Bruce the Snake Man. He's the one that in Texas is licensed. And anytime there's a rodent or an alligator or a snake or anything, they call him, and he goes and retrieves it and gets it out of the way. This picture was taken when they were shooting us for this television program upstate New York, ladies and gentlemen. Pretty incredible. I forgot all about this picture. How'd you get that picture? Did I send that to you, Bill?
Yeah, you sent it to me.
Goes to show you I'm getting old, ladies and gentlemen. So what, without any further ado, let's get out and talk to my blood brother, my brother from another mother out there in the Choctaw Nation in Mississippi. Daron, how are you?
I'm doing good, Tom.
Well, listen, your ears must have been burning, son. You know, the The tribe out there called me. The council called me.
Mm-hmm.
And did you know that?
Oh, no, I did not.
Yeah, they did. They did. And, of course, you know, I always give you accolades and tell them there should be more like that on the reservation like you. And I answered all the questions that they asked,
mm-hmm.
and I should be having our certificate
mm-hmm.
by Friday. I just want to let
yeah.
you know that.
Well, you know, that's great. I just hope that, you know, there'll be some cooperation here, positive cooperation here between searches for Bigfoot and the Mississippi Band of Choctaw Indians.
Oh, yeah, and this comes right from the top, right from the chief himself, mm. by the way, herself. Excuse
I tell you, Tom, we had another sighting here a few days ago.
You know, I got to tell you something. Misty, who called me, she was telling me that mm-hmm. there was three sightings in last week alone.
Oh yeah, I heard that one sighting, and then this was off the reservation. We had a church member whose daughter was coming home about maybe 10-12 miles from where what the casino is, right? You know what the casino is,
right?
In the south of the casino, and a small bipedal hairy creature ran right in front of her across the road, and it was big news at the church.
So everybody there at the assemblance heard about it.
Yeah, I'm positive. I wasn't there, but the church members last night came and told me about it.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Okay, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I think on our website, searchingforbigfoot.com, I think, Bill, is there a picture of Theron and us and our rig there in Mississippi?
I think there still is, yes.
There is. Okay. The reason why I say that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking myself as I'm talking to you. Let me go down the line here. Son of a gun. There it is. Thanks, Bill. It says the Neshoba Democrat on the web says Bigfoot Hunter visits Pearl River Reservation. Well, you'll see me on the left with footprints of the creature, then the Ron's mama in the wheelchair. Behind that is Jimmy, Bill, myself, Mac, and Theron, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, Theron and Mac, Bill, myself, of course, we're in the new movie, Pursuit, which some of that was filmed out there on the Choctaw Reservation. And I'll never forget this. And these two guys, kudos goes out to Theron and Mac, if you're listening. God love you. A phenomenal thing happened. There was a guy that took a picture of a Bigfoot, and we went back into that area to look. And he got thrown in the hooscow. Well, they let him out for us to film him. And I tried to get the footage. And not so much did I try, but the Ron did and Mac did up until about 3 o'clock in the morning. And we started like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Do you remember that, the Ron?
Yeah, I do.
And my gosh, he tried so feverishly, talking in his own language in there, and trying to, and gosh, they didn't live around the corner because each trip had to go back and forth and assure them of this and assure them of that. It was pretty incredible. I'll never forget that day. I'll never forget. Theron, I want you to do me a favor now.
What was that?
I want you to tell the listeners around the globe the day that we went out and found the lair where we were going out to Mama's house. And what did I tell everybody? I said, stop. What did we do?
Well, I told you that my sister saw a creature with a deer on its shoulder going in that direction. So we were going there to my mother's area, you said stop, stop. So we all stopped and we all went down. Well, I didn't. I waited at the car, but you guys went down. A few minutes, ten minutes later, somebody could come on over here, you know, so I went over here. This is a lair. So what happened was there was this big pine tree that had fallen, and there was like a shelter that was made underneath that pine tree, and you could tell that the lair that was made from the trees, the limbs were twisted off. You know what I mean, Dom?
Yeah. Tell them about how the leaves were interwoven with each other. They didn't use a knife. They didn't use an axe, a hatchet, and they didn't use a saw. Mm-hmm. They were torn off, torn apart.
Mm-hmm. It was ingenious of the bipedal creature to be able to think like a man to build something of that nature, you know, like a lair, you know, so something to rest upon. And there was these, what was it, these pine needles, there were these oak leaves and everything, all right in there, you know, made to look like it was going to be like a couch or some, or a bed or something, a bedding. You know, if I was walking through there and you guys weren't there, I wouldn't have known what it was. But you know, when you started to explain how these were, the limbs were cut off, it wasn't cut off naturally. It was cut off by twisting off.
And ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you this, right? And this is from the bottom of my heart. Listen to me closely. This lair, I've seen three in 42 years. This one was probably one of the best I've ever seen before, number one. It was nestled on top of this little knoll that he had a 360-degree view of everything that was coming around, which was ingeniously placed. And we called Fish and Game. We had the sergeant of the police there of the reservation come out. They went in there. They looked at it. They could not believe what they saw. The Fish and Game guy says, oh, my God, I've never seen anything like this before. The sergeant of the police force, he freaked out. But here was the resistance. Mm-hmm. Bill, myself, a couple of the other guys, we put up a bunch of cameras. We baited the area right there by the lair. The picture that we got, ladies and gentlemen, was mind-boggling. If you saw the silhouette of this creature when the film snapped, the shutter snapped, you could see the silhouette, the head, the shoulders, the arms, of this large creature. Bill and I saw it for the first time. He looked, I looked, he says, do you see what I see? I said, shit, yeah. Okay? This thing had to been, ladies and gentlemen, close to 8 feet tall. Bill, who worked in the lumber industry, had never, ever seen a lair put together so ingeniously by these creatures.
Talking about my mamas.
And it all happened out there. So the people that say, well, how come, you know, Theron's mama got to see this and his relatives? Well, let me explain where this is. This isn't in a New York. They all have acreage there. It's forestry, ladies and gentlemen. You need to be out there and take a look yourself, and you'll freak out. And then the other areas where the sightings were, where that guy was incarcerated. We went into that area next to the cemetery. And what do you think Mac found? He found another lair, giant lair. We had pictures of that, too. I don't know where that is. I think that's in the movie, maybe. But lots coming to fruition on this. You know, Texas used to be the biggest hot spot in the nation. Mississippi, I have a feeling, will top it. And we'll find out about that real soon. And if we can get Bill to stream about a half-hour show every night, we can give everybody an up-to-date blow-by-blow of what's going on.
Yeah, we just do a special.
That would be great, Bill. That would be great. It's just, and we can send in pictures every day and let everybody know what we're finding. When you saw this lair, when you saw the silhouette of the creature, when you saw that we were getting closer, what went through your head, Theron?
Well, I knew that there was something there, and that was only proof that this mythical bipedal creature does exist down there. And you know, I wanted to redeem myself from being ridiculed. And you know, I don't care anymore if they ridicule me, because I know that those creatures do exist around there, and that picture proved it.
You bet, buddy. You bet. Ladies and gentlemen, we had the press out there. We had the TV out there. We're on radio. They couldn't believe what they saw, okay? And the reason why these creatures are nestled in this area is everybody has let them alone. Nobody's bothered them, okay? And they've kind of been protected. If things go the way I hope they're going to go, I guess we'll probably be the only ones with permission from the council and the chief to go in there and do what we know how to do best. Isn't that right, Theron?
That's right, and I believe I have some friends that wanna go on an expedition with you guys, you know, and I guess you might wanna just explain to them what you're doing and how you're doing it, and teach them how to look for Bigfoot out in the woods, you know, because I wouldn't have known until you showed me a few things about the woods and what to look for. So, these
well,
folks
ladies
that
and gentlemen, he's right.
Are
let me
really
tell you this. I'm not pinning any medals on my chest, neither. But we were a good 200 yards away from that lair, and Jimmy he took the point. And I says to Jimmy, I yelled out to him, I says, to your right, up on that knoll up there, go check it out. About 200 yards from me, ladies and gentlemen. This goes to show you that I know what I'm looking for, okay? Because like Theron said, if he was in that brush walking through, he would have never found it. My own guy couldn't find it, okay? But I have this funny way about it for doing it all these years, and he gets up there and he screams, hey boss, you better get up here now, you better take a look at this. And we all did, and it all started with this guy named Theron on the Choctaw Indian Reservation. Listen, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, Theron.
Alrighty. Are you still planning to come here?
We're not going to talk about that now. Well, I want you to call me after the show is over, and then we'll talk.
I don't think I got your number anymore, so you'll have to
call
me.
I'll tell you
what,
I'll call you, but make sure your line is on.
All right.
Okay. I'm gonna get up with you real soon. I'm gonna talk to David real quick. Then I'm gonna call it quits. I'll call you about 9:45, your time.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Theron.
All right.
I'll be seeing you soon, son.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, Theron out there in the Choctaw Nation, unbelievable man. Unbelievable nation. The people out there keep to themselves. They don't bother nobody. And by the way, it's probably one of the only reservations that's profitable. They're doing very well. Let's go to commercial, Bill.
Here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back.
Thank you, Bill. Here it is again, ladies and gentlemen. Anatomy of Bigfoot Hoax. You heard me talk about it at the top of the hour, about those two goofballs. One of them got the hint and got out of the business, and the other one is still out there parading with a flag stating that he's got it again. I don't know. You can never judge people. Without any further ado, let's go out there and see Dave and talk to Dave out in Four Corners, New Mexico. Dave, you out there?
Sure am.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. I've been sick for a while, had pneumonia, but I'm finally overcoming it.
My goodness, what happened, son?
Just weather, you know, just being outdoors, and it just caught up with me. You know, we had a very bitter winter to the start, but then it's been very mild ever since Christmas. But you know, I took advantage of the warm weather, I guess, and it just I guess I got weakened and just had to endure it, and I'm fine now.
Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. I understand there's some action going on out there by you guys.
Yeah, actually some very recent reports, too, from this weekend. And I've been playing in a band, in several bands, actually, in the area. And I was in Durango at that time. But, our friend Brenda had sent me some text saying that she was doing a little expedition in an area you know pretty well, that I had sent you some pictures and video. They went down in that area again, and this time it appears that they actually became stalked. This is the first time this has happened to them. Normally, these things have a tendency to run away. This time, they were kind of holding their ground this time, you know, still running away from them, but not particularly leaving. And it was pretty chilling for her. She had a small group of people out there, even with the thermal cam. They didn't get anything visible. They saw some movement in the thermal cam, but it wouldn't show, you know, very clearly. But they did see something swish across their camera, and there were horses down there that they saw real easily, but something else had moved around. But they had to enter a gate to get into this area. It was a private Navajo land, and a while after they were just setting foot on the area and just kind of waiting things out, they heard a big crash that they found out later was the gate. The gate had been closed after they came in, and it had been forcibly opened up again. And there was no explanation what did that. Apparently, even when they were leaving the area, something was actually following them. They heard the footfalls, branches. I think there was some small rocks being thrown toward their direction. But basically, this thing was sort of, what would you call it, like leading them out, you know, from the rear, which has never happened before. Now, in this area, there have been a lot of reports about young Bigfoots, very small Bigfoots being seen in our area. There was a woman down in the valley there, in the river valley, that saw what she thought was a small chimpanzee about 3 foot tall. It was reddish brown. She actually approached it because she felt sorry for it. She thought, well, what's this thing doing, you know, and during the winter by itself? And she kind of wanted to see if it was okay. And it was eating grass. She never saw the face. It was at dusk. It never really turned around toward her, so she didn't actually go eye to eye, but it was doing like what a chimpanzee does, rolls in the ground and tumbles and, you know, just plays around, and it started eating dead, you know, like dry grass too. But as she got closer to it, it actually emitted an odor. It was so horrible, you know, the typical Bigfoot stench. She realized by that time that it wasn't just a regular chimpanzee. So she backed off, and then it ran into some Russian olive by the river. So yes, we're having some real good activity that normally hasn't ever happened at this time of season. It's usually very quiet, very very scattered, but it seems like it's been quite regular, almost like during the summer.
Yeah, I think what's happened, not just in your parts, but it's just like the crops. You know, we had a harsh winter starting off, and then all of a sudden it spring came in. Yeah. The poor foliage doesn't know what to think. They don't know if it's springtime or it's winter time, okay?
Yeah.
And a lot of people are going to be fooled by this, but there's nothing you can do about that. I want to tell you, I had a few phone calls about you, and I wouldn't divulge any information, nor would I give them your phone number.
Uh-huh.
So I thought I'd let you know about that, by the way.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I think you know who I'm talking about.
Okay. I think so.
Huh?
I think so.
Arizona.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So I didn't divulge any information, but... and you know that.
It.
I got
yeah.
your back.
Loyalty
yeah, means more to me than anything else.
Yeah.
Listen, keep us posted, man, because a lot of stuff is going on right now. A lot of stuff, okay?
Uh-huh.
And before I go on or off the air, I want to thank Anthony from Virginia. Rocky and Swede, please close mouth tonight. Do not let anybody know what's happening with us. You go ahead and talk about anything else, but do not let anybody know yet what's going on, okay? Anthony, I miss you. I hope to see you soon. I saw your tree, the new tree formations, unbelievable. And who's that girl, by the way, that's out there? I don't know.
That's Christian. He's a 13-year-old researcher from Pennsylvania.
Looks like a woman to me.
No.
They blackened her face out.
What are you talking? That's Anthony's picture. Yeah, she just wants to remain anonymous.
Okay, gotcha. All right. Well, Bill, I'm going to sign off. You can handle it from here, buddy. I appreciate it so much. And all you people around the globe, thank you so much for being loyal supporters and listeners to us. Forgive me. I'm going to try to get in a pattern of being on every week like we started this station. And we are the largest Bigfoot radio station, I understand now, in the world. And, you know, a lot of imitators, but none of them as real as we are. And you got a whole lot of stories coming up. You got Anthony from Virginia. You got Rocky in Swede. We'll always keep you at the edge of your chair. And until next time, America, kudos and salutations.
Well, Dave, I'm going to meet you out. We're going to go to Anthony.
Okay. Hello, Anthony.
I think I'm going to go... I think I'm going to meet you. There you go. Hey, Anthony, here we go. Anthony,
hey,
are you there?
I'm here.
How you doing?
I'm doing well, and I'm going to miss you too, and hope you guys are doing well on your end.
Yeah, everything's going pretty good. Not pretty busy, but it's going pretty good. Well, tell us what's going on in your end of the woods there.
Well, we had some calls made that almost sounded like coyote sounds, but they were coming in closer, and the reason why we were kind of suspicious with the coyote sounds was because there was no response, and it almost sounded like, almost like yelling, but again, it was hard to discern if it was coyotes or not. But I will say that the interesting thing is that I put up two game cameras along the path of where we were hearing these screams. And since that time, I have not heard a sound.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, I haven't, so far the pictures that I've seen on it, nothing, you just see pictures, something tripped the camera, but, there's nothing there. But like I said, it is, it's, quite a coincidence that, once the game cameras go up, the screaming stops. So.
Yeah. Well, do you have less than a second or a second reaction time?
Okay. All the new cameras that have 1 second trigger time.
Okay. No, that was, yeah, that's one of the things, because some of these things trip off kind of slow.
Yeah, the two that are there, you know, they got them set up for a rapid fire so that it'll take 3 shots in 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
So right after it's triggered, it'll respond in a second, then it'll take 3 shots immediately with a 10-second reset.
How's the weather been in your area?
It was warm last week, and now it's dipping down into the teens tonight. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that back and forth stuff I think is causing a lot of – I get a lot of calls. I've gotten a lot of calls on the Bigfoot Hotline here in the last week or so. And usually in areas where the weather's changed drastically, where, during the day, one day it's 50s, 40s, 50s, 40s, and then the next it's down in the teens. And it seems to have, and usually in areas down south where it doesn't normally get like that, where the South Carolina and some of these other places where they normally don't really get a lot of freezing, and snow or ice. And, of course, it's having kind of a drastic effect on a lot of things.
It sure is. Sure is. But hopefully with all the bait and cameras that some of our friends have set up, hopefully we'll find something soon to share.
Mm-hmm. If you set up bait traps?
I was trying to set up, put up some cuties, but I never got around to it. So,
Did you try what what Rocky was talking about? Like some sweet potatoes mash with some, and just kind of smear it in a, like a burlap?
Haven't tried that, but I do recall when he had talked about that. And actually, maybe you can put me in touch with him because...
Well, he's going to be on tonight.
I know that, but I need him to call me so that I'd like to make a nice list of, not just one thing. I'd like to try a few things.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, what we'll do is we'll get... I'm sure Rocky would... give him a call and he'd tell you everything, him and Swede.
Sounds good.
Well, heck, thanks for coming on and letting us know what's going on in your area.
Sure.
Of course, keep on trucking and, it doesn't happen every week, but it does happen. And it's the consistency that counts, right?
That's right.
Okay, buddy. I want to meet you out. We're going to go to Rocky and Swede, and then we're going to go to our open mic time.
All right, that's it.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Anthony from Virginia. We're going to go up here now. We're going to talk to Rocky and Swede. How are you, Rocky and Swede?
I'm doing good. I don't think Swede is. I think he's, he's just one of those kind of people.
Well, you know how it is. Somebody's got to do it, I guess.
No, we're doing good. I gotta lift off to him a little bit every now and then.
Well, I told you I'd do some surgery on that foot for you, but make up for that tooth pulling.
Well, let's skip that.
Tell us a little something about you're gonna specifically talk about a subject tonight.
We went out a couple of days ago and we put some bait up. And that's what's the matter with my foot. When I stepped off a rock and did I geeked the heel on my right foot. Can't hardly walk right now, but I wasn't going anywhere anyhow. So, anyhow, the guy that we had talked to the other week about down on Onion Creek about the white creature that he saw.
Mm-hmm.
He brought up a question. He was worried about anybody finding out where his property was and all that. He doesn't want anybody out there. And
sure.
You know, me and the Swede are real lucky to have, you know, made contact with him. He's a really nice guy, but like I say, I hope he's not out there and, you know, getting all mad at me, but the guy, he's a good guy, but he has absolutely no sense of humor. anyhow, but when we were out there, he asked us, if there should we take one down out there on his place. He was showing us the way to take it to, you know, avoid prying eyes and where we would be off of his property when we actually got down there to where we could load it. And then he asked me, would there be any kind of legal repercussions if we shot one? And when he said that, you know, it kind of brought me and the Swede both to a stop, because it's one of those things, you get caught up in something and sometimes you forget to check all the details. Well, when we went down to southern Arkansas some time back to do some checking on a possible sighting, we ended up over in the edge of Oklahoma. After we got back from Oklahoma, we found out that it was bad mojo to hunt, harm, or harass a Bigfoot. And, like, jail time and a big fine. So, anyhow, the Swede, after we got back to the house, the Swede did his homework. Go ahead and tell him what you found out, Swede.
I had made a telephone call to the Game and Fish with the state, and, of course, when I posed the question to the young lady, I told her, I said, this might sound a little bit strange, but I've got to ask this question, and I did. And of course, she chuckled a slight bit there at first, but she alluded that in the state of Arkansas, in our state, that the state of Arkansas does not recognize Bigfoot as a species. They have no regulations. There's no hold back. Now, you know, that being said, you can't be doing, you have to follow some regulations based upon if you're on government land and, you know, what's open and what's not open and what firearm you can use and what method you can use to hunt during that season. But, you know, if you have a concealed carry and you're wandering around out there in a national forest, you have every right to protect yourself, and they don't, you know, it's not an issue here. But we wanted, you know, when we had posed a question to us, you know, we thought we might share that with the listeners that, and anybody that's, you know, potentially out there that might be a phone call that you want to make. Now, there may be some stipulations in your area or in your state or whatever that might, you know, hinder something of that effect. And get you in a lot of trouble. So, anyway, we thought we'd bring that up. And
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good point to bring up. You know, and another, you know, one of the other things that I'm always thinking about is it's not only a state regulation. As you said before, it depends upon what land you're on and who has governance over the land. And if it's federal, it comes under federal statutes and federal laws.
Exactly.
If it's state, it comes under state laws. If it's a reservation, it comes under the tribal law. And all of those, in every single one, will have different rules applying to a lot of those things. And so it's very critical that when you're out there, that you're aware of where you're at, what laws you're under, wherever you're at. And, you know, even a mistake or anything like that can be something that can get you in a bind. And, it's just something to be aware of.
Some time back, I talked to some fish and game people about the wild hogs in our area. And I told them that, you know, we might not necessarily be out there hunting one, but we had concealed carry license, and we always carried, because we got bears.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're firm believers in protecting ourselves from bears, because I just don't want to get eaten. But I asked the guys if we were out there just pooting around out in the woods and we encountered a hog, was there any problem with us just whipping out the gats and, you know, burning him down? He said that what we needed to do is anytime we saw a hog, throw down on him, but before we pull the trigger, say quietly to ourselves, "Oh no, he's coming straight for us," and then kill it. And that way, you know, so we feared for our life. Well, I would think that if you feel as though your life is being threatened, well, if you see one of those creatures and the shot is there, and, you know, when it comes right down to it, I would love to be able to prove something with a picture, but I don't see that happening that easily. And, you know, a carcass would provide all the DNA a man could ever hope for. So if you see one out there and the shot is there and you make the shot, just before you pull the trigger, say, "Oh, no, he's charging me." And then call Marco Bill or Thomas Cardi and say, "Help." And I think they can give you some helpful information at that point. But before you call the news people or anything like that, cover it up real good, mark your spot, and then, like I say, call Tom, call Bill, and say, "Okay, where do I go from here?" Because they'll have more answers than about anybody else would.
Right, calling the local news is not your first call.
Oh, God.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But if all else fails and that scenario plays out, there's always the thing, go put your firearm away and then say, "Look, I found this." But that's the main thing. I mean, first you got to protect yourself as far as, you know, protect your life. And then you've got to consider protecting yourself from any kind of legal repercussions. And, you know, if you just happen to find one laying somewhere that somebody else had shot, well, you know, you kind of, as long as you tell the story right, you're covered. So, like I say, it's as simple as learn the laws, find out what Johnny Law is gonna. The one thing that you don't want to do is be standing over something like that when the round hats show up. You find out what the laws are. Stay as legal as you possibly can. Like I say, if you can figure out a way to catch one, that's fine with me. I haven't figured out how to catch something like that. But I've got a pretty good idea as to how to stop one, and I don't really want to do one any harm. But if you take a picture, everybody's going to say, "Oh, it's fake." You know, all of that. We've heard all the stories about people who have shown pictures and they said, "Oh, you know." Said that's a dude in a costume or something like that. And well, unless you have absolute proof it's not a dude in a costume, that's the story that's going to be out there. On the other hand, if they come up there and the dude in the costume is actually not a dude in a costume but an actual creature, let's say a carcass, a body, is the best proof. And, well...
And
someday it's got to happen, or
like we've said,
you know,
all along, Rocky. We don't want, you know, we're not out there to necessarily harm something. We're gonna, you know, we're gonna try to prove the point, and a lot of people get a little bit upset about that, and I can understand that to the thing. But after the first one's found and it's proven, then we can protect all the rest of them.
Absolutely, it's just like I guess it was the Highland Gorilla. Nobody believed it existed until they brought the body in.
Mm-hmm. Now they're all protected. So,
yeah.
Just one of those things.
Oh, heck, let's open it up for everybody, should we?
Sure.
Dave, you're on. Anthony, you're on.
Yep, right here.
Robert, you're on. Christian, you're on. And Steve,
I'm on.
Are you
on?
Yeah,
I know. I made it late.
That's all right. Well, let's open up. Anybody got any questions for Rocky and Swede?
Rocky and Swede, what are you using lately for bait to try to catch some fishes?
The bait that we've had stolen the most was actually we'd bake sweet potatoes and apples. And then take a potato masher and just mash it all up into a pulp. And I always talk about the black strap molasses. That's just because I end up eating some of it on the way out there. But the sweet potatoes and apples mashed up in just pulp it up. And then cut squares of burlap and just... smear some in it and then tie it up. Take you a piece of wire about 3 feet long and hang it with that wire. Put the wire on the tie it to a piece of
paracord.
Yeah, paracord, and hang it about 6 foot out from the trunk of the tree, and keep it about 6 or 8 feet, well, 8 feet off the ground be the best height, because around here we don't have anything. I mean, the bears around here aren't going to reach up 8 feet.
Gotcha.
But yeah,
Anthony, about that bait, what's really good about that bait, what me and Rocky found out, we've used it a lot in the summer month, in August, when it's really hot. And we'll set it out there and don't mess with it for, you know, a week, and it'll kind of lose a little bit of its stuff. And I don't know, something about the baking part of it and all that, you know, it don't really just get rancid, but it'll get dry. And We'll just put back one of the, like your little spray bottle, like you, you know, like what you got your, whatever, your Windex in or whatever, as long as it'll spray a stream.
Right.
And, we'll hit that with that, with some water about once a week. Just come by there when we check that out and spray that, and it'll kind of rejuvenate it and get it back again. So you don't have to go through the big mess of, you know, a big bunch of trouble. You can get about 2 weeks out of it before, you know, the bees get on it. It's a sweet thing, you know. A lot of summertime bugs will get on it and stuff, but inside that burlap, it's pretty protected. But when you re-wet it, that burlap kind of soaks it up some, catches that water, and it'll rehydrate it, and it'll start smelling again. And it works real good. It's a good bait. We've used a lot of stuff, but that seems to be something for our neck of the woods. It's real fragrant, and it gets a you know, drifting around that smell, and I mean it. Whatever the deal is, it's just got it. It smells good to them. They'll come from away.
Well, we've brought in a lot of bears with it, but like I say, they can't reach it. We've had lots of hogs, and like Michael was saying last week, you take a gallon jug of apple juice and freeze it and hang it way up in a tree and punch a hole in the bottom. As it thaws out and drips, it'll bring a lot of animals in. It's really good for bringing in wild hogs. But we've had our jugs of apple juice stolen before.
Oh.
And yeah, there's, like I say, hogs can't do that. Bears can't do that as high as we hang them. But we found our jugs missing, and the parrot was broken. So
we've had the bait, the sweet potato bait there. It was on, something reached up there and grabbed at that paracord that they, you know, at 550. They say it's, you know, it's got a couple 300-pound tests or better. I can hang on it and it won't snap, you know. I mean, if you jump around on it, you can break it, but it's really strong, especially if you've got it on a limb pretty flexible, and it broke down, what you say that limb was, Rocky, about an inch and a half or two-inch limb?
No, it's two inches. They're big 2 inches.
Hickory, huh. And that's some stuff you just don't snap down, you know. I mean, you just don't break hickory like that, and it was pulled down and broken off, and the limb was hanging on the side of the tree. It had some major force. You know, no way a bear did that. No way. Nothing like that.
Marco, Bill.
Yes.
Can I tell them what I told you about the trap I made?
Go right ahead.
Oh, I made this trap. I just put regular potatoes in regular seasoning. I forgot what it was called. I hung it on the tree 9 feet tall, and it got, I didn't tie it or anything. It was tied, and you couldn't pull it off. You couldn't pull it off because nothing could reach the string. The next morning, I saw the whole thing was down, and the cloth was ripped apart. Nothing, no raccoons or anything could have got it.
No camera set up when you did that?
Huh?
Any camera set up when you had that out?
No, I didn't get my... I'm getting it next... I'm going to do it again either this weekend or next weekend.
Well, you know, a lot of times if you'll keep baiting the same area, there's a lot better chance that that whatever it was that got it is going to come back and look for a refill. But if it was 9 feet up in a tree, then you know, I don't know how things are around your area, but in our area, about the only thing that's going to mess with something like that is if a coon or something like that went up and, you know, crawled out on the limb, something like that. That's why we started using a piece of wire
so the squirrels and coons won't try to crawl or climb down the paracord and get into it. But
lick.
Yeah, it's they slide too far. We found places where a big old fat coon had hit the ground under one of our baits. But, well, I guess it was a coon. Whatever it was, it was fat and it hit the ground pretty hard. But there's coon tracks around, so. The main thing is just keep it far enough away from the base of a tree that, and, you know, hang it down. Keep it up high enough for the ground animals to have plenty of difficulty. Keep it low enough under a limb that the ones up in the tree will have difficulty trying to slide down a slick piece of wire. But like I say, the sweet potatoes and apples have been a really good recipe, and it's we've fed a lot of people wild hog with that recipe. But then when we started hanging it up in the trees, then something a lot bigger than hogs have been coming around.
And if you ever get real hungry, Anthony, you'll have your little snack.
Yeah, that's when the black strap molasses comes in.
I might even sample some before I hang it up.
I tell you, you'll like it a lot. You'll like it a lot. It's not a bad mix. I think that's why it works so well. It just smells good. It kind of gives you a little notion of the pumpkin pie type of thing or something. I don't know. You know, sweet potato pie, and then you've got that apple pungency there. That baked apple's really... You got, you know, and don't, when me and Rocky started that, we used to go get, you know, just old cull apples and stuff, but, you know, apples are not that expensive, and you can get a big, you know, a big 5-pound bag of some decent apples, and the better the apples, the better it is, to tell you the truth. The better apples, the better it does.
I think pears might work just as good as an apple.
Yeah, pears would
probably would. They probably would.
If you could, you know, we get some Bartlett pears in the fall time, you know, from all the trees. There's a lot of pears that grow around old house places around here, and you can get them. But, you know, it's kind of seasonal. We're out there in August. There's not any to be had. So we just kind of fell into the sweet potato and apple thing, and it kind of turned out accidental. But it's turned out, I mean, we used it as a hog bait at first, and it worked great. And then we thought, wow, man, well, we try this and see. Because we were
I'm going to have to get my other half to bake a sweet potato pie and take it up in the woods up north and see what happens.
There you go.
I know what will happen here.
I know what will happen here. Half of it will be gone.
Yeah, sweet will get a hold of it.
Yeah. Dave, did you have any questions?
I was going to say about that, about putting, you know, sweet potatoes and apples and stuff. I often thought, would it be possible to even get like a, you know, an aluminum pie plate and maybe grease it up with some Crisco or something? So when this creature grabs it, you know, you'd have to have it on a table or something. When it grabs it, it would put some handprints on it. Has that ever been kind of a thought?
Huh. I hadn't thought about that, but.
I never thought about that at all.
Huh. Yeah,
that might be a viable. I mean, you know, any input's good, you know, if you got an idea, share it, because, you know, that's how we're going to learn, is, you know, trial and error. Maybe somebody's got a, you know, several heads are better than one when you're thinking about that, then that's a great idea, actually.
Yeah, hey, it might work, too. Let's try it.
Yeah, I had an experience up in the Chuska Mountains up here. Lukachuka is actually, they're about 60 miles away from here, when I came back from a country gig that I played, and... what eventually happened is I had some handprint put on the back of my Explorer window. Didn't see it till a few days later when the sun was coming in on it, and I took pictures of it. But I should have—I was informed later I could have tried to, you know, it, or I could have tried to get DNA taken off of it. I didn't know that. I was like, oh man! Mm-hmm. But I at least I got pictures. And I thought, you know, if somebody could do that pie thing, or, you know, where something any kind of flat surface could be greased where it would have to put its hand on, it either might get DNA or at least a good handprint.
That's a good idea. You know, we've done some stuff like that when we've had bears try to get into the cabin, in the buildings and stuff like that, you know, and spread the flour down on the, you know, dust the floor there.
Uh-huh.
And saw exactly what it was, you know.
Yeah.
But that pie plate thing with some grease would be a great, or, you know, or some kind of a technique like that, even on,
yeah.
If you greased a tree, you know, by one of your baits or something a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, put something on there that could you know, make a print.
Right.
That's
well, I was asked here a while back why we didn't put sand beneath our bait, and I want everybody to understand that 80-pound bags of sand gets really heavy after about 4 miles. So that's why we don't do that.
Well, you know, that's only that particular thing works only. Same thing with flour; it only works in certain circumstances. Another thing that they've done is just take the dirt that's there and loosen it up under the area where you're at and make an area where the earth is, will take a print. You know what I'm talking about? And scrape, you know, it's like a scrape it up type thing.
We removed the leaves back, you know, and kind of dusted it off and made it, you know, where we could see what had been there.
You know, that kind of just gave me an idea, too, about something else. Try finding a piece of ground that has that Native American caliche or clay or whatever it is in it.
Well, you got to understand, Arkansas, the state of Arkansas is a rock with a little bit of dirt.
Yeah, I know, the old man.
And I'll tell you what, it is bad. I mean, that's how come we've got all these beats and bangs, because when we roll our stuff, it seems like we always land on something that's real hard, and it doesn't matter where you are, it's always real hard.
Yeah.
But
the only soft spots we have in Arkansas is between our ears.
Mm. I'm afraid if I use that molasses thing, I'd run out before I give it to Bigfoot.
I wanted to thank everybody for coming on the show tonight. I appreciate all of you for participating and keeping us going. I wish you all good luck for next week. Let's keep Bigfooting and keep the Bigfoot alive. And we'll see everybody next week. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts.